Joining us on the official BYB Extreme Europe podcast is BYB Extreme Supremo, Mike Vasquez. Mike, live from the USA, how are we doing?
Good afternoon to you. I'm in Miami, Florida. My main office is here in Miami, where I operate my main business, but we have the BYB gym across the street as well. Wow. So it makes it convenient for me to roll around both of the locations.
Fabulous. Now, before we get into BYB Extreme's acquisition of BKB, tell the UK fans a little bit about yourself and how you got into the world of bare-knuckle fighting.
Well, actually, I was pulled into it. I've always been a combat sports fan, a big boxing fan in the 70s and 80s when boxers were there, you know, really to fight and want to take their opponent's head off, really not what it became later, which was just fighting for rounds and for points and evading opponents. I've always been a combat sports fan, but I was pulled into it. My friend who used to work with Pitbull at the time pulled me aside and told me that he was friends with Dada. If I was familiar with the backyard, you know, scene, which I was, and he told me that basically the boxing commissions were starting to come down on the backyard fighting and all this, and they had received the formal warnings that they needed to cease and desist or face legal repercussions. So they were basically being forced to stop, and we wanted to see how we could continue the excitement, the grittiness of the that kind of fighting and the bare knuckle fighting, on a legal path. And that's when they drew me in, because they were familiar with my history, taking NASCAR to Mexico and kind of forging and creating a series down there. So that's where they asked me if I'd be interested in coming in and working on evolving it from the backyard to, you know, basically now the world stage.
I suppose here in the UK, we've been a little bit surprised at how quickly it has grown from the hay bales to what it is. Has it been that sort of rapid growth in the USA?
Yeah, we're still not where we want to be, Tom. And I still think that's probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years away. But we have come a long way over the last, you know, BKB and BYB. We both started approximately in 2014. Mm-hmm. So it's 10 years now. The first, I'd say, 7 years were really hurdles, because you had to get over the perception that bare knuckle was brutal, that it was worse than boxing, that it was worse than MMA, that it was the most dangerous or savage of sport. And that's because of the blood involved, right? The lacerations, the
Absolutely.
Cuts, because of the lack of gloves. But it took a while to convince people that, wait a minute, an elbow comes with a lot more force and stronger bone structure than a fist. A knee, a kick, all of which is legal in several, you know, combat sports, but bare knuckle isn't, and it just didn't make sense. So we just, you know, kept pushing the envelope, kept trying to find ways to do things, whether it was on native sovereign land or whether it was on international waters, and just trying to host the event so we can show, hey, wait a minute, you know, you can't judge something you can't see, right? You're saying it's but you haven't seen it. You haven't regulated it. You haven't observed it or had doctors. So we went on that path, and we have doctors that of course attend all the events, but that document every single injury, work with the commissions, and we document those injuries, hand injuries, eye injuries, lacerations, to demonstrate that we are below boxing and MMA regarding hand breaks, orbital bones, concussions. The only thing we're slightly above is in lacerations. You know, cuts, little cuts and stuff that get sewed up, and a fighter's back to normal in 2 weeks. So it took a good bit of time to get that opportunity. But once Wyoming opened up and Florida opened up and we were able to have shows with consistency, then people were able to say, oh, wow, you know, now it's 10 shows, now it's 20. And, you know, the injuries are what they say they are. So, but we're excited about the next, you know, the next 3 to 5 years is going to be explosive even further.
I think you've hit, and it resonates with me, because when I got involved as well with Jim and Joe way back in BKB1, Everybody that I knew on radio when I was working, they were saying, it's, oh no, it's horrible, it's brutal. And I explained to them that medically it's safer than glove boxing, because in glove boxing, repeated hits to the head, your brain gets damaged. You get a cut in BKB, it clears up, and a few stitches maybe, and the blood gone, it clears up. People have you've hit the word, perception is wrong. How big a problem is that to overcome for a lot of people still, do you think?
Well, the other day we had a fight in Denver. Well, it wasn't the other day, it was in December, but Julio Tenorio against Mark Irwin. And it was a brutal 6-round war. It went back and forth. Tenorio got knocked down a couple times. Mark Irwin walked away with a hematoma, you know, that looked like he was a hammerhead shark. You know, so it made it on a big podcast here, a big sports guy's name is Stephen A. Smith. Very controversial. It's mostly NBA, but he branches out into other things. And he, you know, he finished his podcast talking about BYB and bare knuckle and how it was brutal and needed to be banned, and showed the images. And then fortunately, the combat sports community came to our defense and it was like, wait a minute, a hematoma is, you know, it's nothing compared to the dangers and the concussions. So it's still out there. And some people with big megaphones are still screaming it, you know, but I think over time it'll continue to diminish. Will we have everybody loving it? No, there's going to be people that just don't like combat sports, or they just don't like blood, or why is this necessary, or why, you know, whatever, you know, you can't make everybody happy, but we're not trying to. We have a lot of fighters that we're working with, we're developing, we're telling their stories, we're giving them opportunities. We're you know, there's a avid combat sports fan base, and those are the people we're catering to. So we're never going to get everybody satisfied, but I've never seen anybody come to our events and walk away not liking it either. You know, so you got to be there, you got to see it, you got to live the moment and the atmosphere in the room, and you become a fan.
There's a big side benefit as well, and that is that a lot of fighters would probably be, with all due respect, would probably be either in prison or dead if it wasn't for bare knuckle boxing.
They'll tell you that a lot of them have been there, and have found this as a way to keep themselves focused, you know, to keep their energies. You know, they got a lot of energy they need to spend. They got some, you know, issues they want to work through, and they spend that time in the gym, that quality time thinking and working on yourself and improving yourself, and sometimes taking it out on somebody else as well helps therapeutically. So I've seen it they become better men, better women. The
Absolutely.
camaraderie is there. You see that they may want to take each other's head off during the fight, but as soon as the fight's over, they're there to,
100%.
you know, to celebrate what they just done together, you know, because that's a sounding strange or whatever. It's an intimate moment between two people when they're in there. They're the only ones in there that are in the act. Everybody could be yelling, the coaches, the fans, and everybody, but it's only them two in there, and they bond. Most of the time, they bond during that moment, and they become lifelong friends.
It's a relationship.
You know, sharing that memory, sharing that event together.
I can see, think of a couple of fighters. Aaron McCallum is one who told me quite clearly that he was looked upon as a bit of a nutter, a thug, and all the rest of it. But now he has a profile in his hometown, and people look at him and go, "Wow, there's the box." You know, it actually, and it makes him feel better about himself. Mentally, he's in a far better place than he ever was. So there's a lot of that, without trying to justify it, there's a lot of social services work done by organizing bare knuckle boxing.
Well, that's if you know, as a matter of fact, the way it started in the backyard with Dada years ago, it wasn't a way to settle community beefs. And it's very much, I guess, you know, the way the gypsies did it as well. If you had a beef, you bring it, you fight it, you duke it out, and then that's it. It's over, you know, the best man won, and you move on. So it was much that way in the backyard. If there was an issue between two guys, you know, it was like, hey, put the guns down, put the knives down. You want to settle it right here. The whole neighborhood can watch. And you know,
Brilliant.
and it's over when it's over. And you know, a lot of times, if you look at the movie Dogfight, you know, by Billy Corbin and Rocco
Yeah.
Tour, you'll see the police were at his events, and they were just cruising by, you know, happy to see everybody there, having a good time. They weren't doing other things, and you know, in the neighborhood, and they were just cruising by. In some cases, sitting at the fence, looking through the fence, watching the event themselves. So it was very much a community. A community event, and we try to keep that feeling. You know, we talk about BYB family. We try to keep that feeling, that community, when you know, feeling around BYB as we've moved forward. And we try to, the fans in attendance there to feel that, our guests, whether it's media or you know, some VIP, for them to feel that camaraderie, that kind of community. And from the comments of the people, I think it comes through.
Mike, yourself, what two things, what makes you tick and what annoys you?
I enjoy being part of things, building, working, you know, with good people, surrounded by good people, and moving something forward. Success is great, but when you can share it, you know, and bring people with you on that, it's even better. You know, so that kind of what keeps me going, and why I got involved in this. You know, business was good on outside of this. This was the way that I said, you know what? Once I met Dada, I was like, you know, I want to help Dada take his vision forward, and my other partners, and you know, everybody that we've built along the way, I want them to see this get to where it deserves, and I want them to, you know, to enjoy the ride and reap the rewards once we get there, you know. So that's what keeps me ticking, you know. What annoys me really, like little pet peeves and stuff, is inefficiency. When something is, you know, if you got to go through to point A to point B, that's the fastest route, you know, why are you doing this? You know, or why are you going to see first? Or why are you calling? If you need this answer and you know this person has it, you know, why are you coming to me? Or why are you coming to him? Or why are you, you know, sending emails to four different people asking if they know, if you can just make that quick connect? Just silly things like that. That's, you know, that kind of frustrates me, you know. That, but, you know, other than that, I let people be, you know, live and let live.
Like my old boss. I only went to him once with a problem. He said, I'll pay you to solve problems. Tell me when it's done.
Oh, bring me solutions, not problems. I've heard that one before myself, yeah.
You recently completed the deal with Joe and Jim to acquire BKB. What was your strategic thinking behind that?
I was familiar with BKB years ago when we first started BYB as well. And, you know, again, we both kind of came out of the radar at the same time approximately. And we followed each other respectfully. There was never any animosity or anybody talking anything. It was like, oh, look what these guys are doing. Oh, that's great. We're doing this over here. During COVID, we started talking more and more. Hey, what are you guys doing now? How are you handling this? How are, you know, how are things over there? How are things over here? And, you know, as we started coming out of COVID, we said, you know, let's start doing things. You know, let's, you know, send me a fighter. I'll send you a fighter. And let's, you know, develop this relationship. So I went to London and met with Jim and Joe. Ooh, I got to pull that up. It was in January of 2021. I got to see what show that would have been for you guys. But I went to that show. We met. We had a great time, you know, clicked. And at that first meeting, I'd be honest to tell you, this possibility ran through my mind. And I told them that. I said, hey, you never know where this can end. Let's start like this, but we never know how this can end. You know, we can end up being all one company together at some point, you know, or we never know, but let's start the ball rolling, the relationships. Let's give our fighters opportunities. And I think it's been really exciting to see some of your guys come over here and come to the States to fight for their fan base, for their family, for themselves. You know, they work hard. It's almost like a treat, you know, to be able to go somewhere new and experience something different, right? Same thing for our guys to go to London and, you know, and fighting over there with the tradition and the history that you guys have. And so it was very rewarding for the fighters. And as we continue to develop it, and we had last year the Police Gazette, you know, event, which I think was wonderful. I think the fighters had a great time. I think the fans loved it. You know, it was like, all right, you know, now what's next? Are we going to do this yearly? Or are we going to, you know, there's a lot of talk back and forth of our ring, your ring, you know, between the fan bases. If it was our ring, if it was your ring, if it was our rules, if it was your rules, we're like, well, how can we consolidate things, you know, and make it uniform so all fighters have the same experience, the same opportunity. And that's what we've done.
It gives you a major foothold in Europe anyway.
I mean, and again, Jim, Joe, myself, and Greg, our CEO, we're all very like-minded. Not only do we like working, not only is it good business, but we like and enjoy working with each other. Our personalities are very similar in many ways. You know, even though we have different backgrounds, traditions, and all that, so we have the same kind of sense of humor and you know, same drive, same goals as well, same ambitions. So with Jim and Joe, it was, like I said, the same vision. We can grow best together, I believe, with them handling, you know, again, you know, it's BYB Europe and BYB United States. We look to expand beyond the UK, looking to expand and go into other countries throughout Europe as we continue to grow. But again, as a business person, you do things when it's ready, when the market's ready, not when you're ready, right? I can be ready for something now and I can force a show here or I can force a show there. But if it's not, if the market's not ready, if the broadcast, whatever it is, you know, you got to do things when you're ready. So as we're mapped this next 12 to 18 months out, I think over the next year or so, you're going to start seeing a lot more announcements in that nature where, you know, BYB on our side will venture out into Mexico and Canada and do more events and stuff like that, where BYB Europe on your side will perhaps do a show in other nations around the European continent, continue to draw fighters from around, you know, both continents or you know, all continents in general, and just continue to grow the offering, the awareness. Each one of those fighters tells a story. When you have a fighter from a new country and you get to their media and you start, you know, developing that storyline. And so it's really neat to see that and to know that it's not going to happen tomorrow. Even if I wanted it to, it's going to happen when it's ready to happen, and that you plan and you prepare for.
What can the BKB fans, who are now BYB viewers and fans, what can they expect to see differently at BYB 30 in Cardiff?
Well, they're going to see the Trigon. That's for you know, the start. They're going to see the Trigon, which we believe is exciting. And I got to tell you, the ring that BKB has used in the past is tiny. It is tiny. It's only, I think it's 14 by 14 or something like that. It really is tiny. For them, it's not a matter of getting to learn and to fight in a tight space, because they've already been fighting in a tight space. It's more the angles, right? The corners. Some guys will learn to use them. Some guys will just try to avoid them. That's just the nature of the beast. Depends on their fighting style. The main thing really that I think, and I think it's not going to be an issue for the guys, for the girls, we always do 2 minute rounds, but for the guys, it is a 3 minute round. So I think most of these guys train that way anyways. I think most of these guys are excited to get that third minute, because, you know, if you've worn somebody down over 2 minutes, well, that third minute is when you can take them out. So why re-energize the other guy and have a fight go 4 or 5 rounds if you think you can pour it on? And, you know, if I'm going to pour it on, I can pour it on heavy for 3 rounds and be out of here in 3, instead of, you know, trying to outbox this guy and be out of here and, you know, and risk a decision,
yeah,
you know, which we've seen, you know, bad decisions on both sides of the yeah, pond, yeah, you know. So I think that's now on and the other thing is the count. We do have the standing 8 count, doesn't go to 20, and the count's 10. But the most positive thing I think that I think the fighters are going to appreciate and enjoy is that we are going to do as we do here in the United States, day before weigh-in. So you get your weight cut, you enjoy a nice meal with your family, you get your rest, you come back the next day and you're ready to fight. There's a give and take in the fighters' minds. I think that's the give, you know, for the third minute round or whatever you want to, you know.
I've been canvassing some of the fighters about, you know, the changes and stuff, and most of them think they're more suited to the clinch and punch and the Trigon and the 3 minutes. A lot of the fighters actually say that might help them.
Well, if they come from an MMA background, right? If they've been training MMA, absolutely. If they focus on boxing, not necessarily, but look at Harry Gugliotti here. Look at, you know, Tommy Jones. Look at all of the boxers that have come through here, mm-hmm, that have adapted to the clinch, right? To, you know, and I'll tell you, you know, you got to be honest. A lot of boxers do the clinch, but it's very quick, right? It's when the referee's on this side and you can't, you know, and they let it go. So they know how to do it. You know, they just pick and choose when they do it. The way that it's going to be is it's even for everybody over there. It's new to most guys, you know, except the Paul Hiltz of the world and the Barry Jones has come here and, you know, and the other guys that have come here and have experienced it or been part of our show over there. But it's going to be even for everybody. So there may be fights, and it happens here, there may be fights where you don't see it, where I'm sitting there as a fan ringside looking up and going, why isn't he using the clinch? Why isn't he, damn, clinch and uppercut? You would have, you know, so there's going to be fights where they don't use it, and there'll be fights where they will use it. So it'll be, you know, even for everybody as they continue to develop.
Will the belts be different?
I believe we are making a design revamping. I know Greg Bloom is working on that with Jim. That's my understanding. I don't have a final date as far as when there'll be a transition, if it's at the end of this year or when. But I have heard that there's work on.
I mean, it is going to be a collaborative thing, isn't it? Collaborative is the word. Will we see lots of fighters coming to England to take part in the shows, and conversely, English fighters going to the USA to fight on your shows there?
Yeah, that's the plan. I know on this first show, primarily, it's going to be just the original BKB fighters making their debut. I know we're also going to be going over there a couple times this year. Our team and from the U.S., going to be having a couple shows later this year over there as well. And there'll be a mix of our fighters and fighters from over there. There's a lot of opportunities coming up, and there'll be fighters from over there coming to our events. I think in Denver, I know the next couple cards are already booked up, but Denver and then later in the year. So yeah, we'll continue to travel, you know, fighters both ways.
You've created, I think you mentioned it earlier, a family affair rather than a workforce. You've got a close-knit family. What are your minimum requirements from people who work for you?
It depends on of course on the position, right? You know, if you're talking about being a fighter, we want fighters to be dedicated to their craft, to improving themselves, to becoming better fighters, to coming prepared. Really, we've seen fighters, you know, like DJ Linderman, who came to his first fight, and I saw him improve physically from fight to fight. He continued to work on himself to be the best fighter. He became our world champ. He lost to Ike Hernandez, or Ty Villanueva, I'm sorry. But he gave his all, and he fought a hurricane, right, in Ike, our heavyweight champ. So that's what we'd love to see is guys that come in, take it seriously, and want to improve and get better. As far as, like, you know, what they do socially and this and that, we'd like them to be good people, of course. But everybody's going to have their persona, their character, and you have to let people be people, right? We're not micromanaging what they do on their off time or what they say or what they do. Our focus is about how they perform in the ring, how they perform and how they behave at our events, with our staff, with other fighters, with the fans. And if that's good, you know, that's what we worry about.
And the same with staff, presumably.
Well, yeah, staff, you probably have to leave to even a higher standard, because they're representing you not only in the ring, they're representing you behind the scenes. So yes, definitely with the staff, the same people. And over the years, I've been fortunate to find good people, you know, in the industries that I've worked with, surround myself by good people, and never really been an issue. The team that we have now between Greg and Don and Mel and Jim and Joe, you know, those are good quality people that are putting their best efforts into what we're doing.
And your vision and aims for BYB in the UK, do you have a name? Have you talked to Jim and Joe? Have you got a vision of where you want it to be?
A vision of where I would like want it to be? Yeah, I again, everything comes with time. But over the next 3 to 5 years, I'd love to see events in most of the major European countries and cities. Branch out to do an event, out in Germany or in France or in Italy, or just to outreach to those markets and continue to develop, bring in talent from around Europe, and just continue to develop the region. That's primarily what we'd love to see, continue to expand the fighter base that we have. I think the pool of fighters has grown significantly, and the caliber of fighter and has also increased, where a lot of other people are starting to look at. Originally, like I said, it was a backyard backyard sport. It was, settling grudges and whatnot. But now it's evolved to an actual combat sport with trained, professionals that are dangerous, dangerous people once they get inside that ring. So I think that's the continued progression, is to just keep building on that talent pool and expanding the viewership and the reach.
UFC had similar issues when they started, and when they started to grow, they're now accepted worldwide. So I suppose you're on the path to worldwide acceptance, similar to UFC.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we track a lot of the stuff on their performance and their history and whatnot. And I'm not going to sit here today and tell you that we're on par to become a $10 billion company over the next whatever years. But we are on par with their growth rate, with their viewership, with a lot of the stuff early on. A lot of the same issues, they had John McCain, one of our senators, trying to put an end to them, which ended up being good marketing for them, right? Because, there's always politics. 50% of people believe one thing, 50% of people believe another thing. So his enemies became their fans, and they grew as a result, what I'd like to believe is that we're on I see it. We're on a growth trajectory. How big and how fast, I can't tell you. But I do think that we're about, a year, year and a half, maybe 2 years away from really blossoming, where it's more of a daily disgusting or, than it is now. I think, like you said, go 3 years back and ask yourself, with the coverage that we're doing, with the events, the quality of the events,
yeah,
and everything, and the way the media is, would you believe 3 years ago that it would have happened this fast? I mean, probably not. Here in the United States, there's almost 40 states now, or going to be almost 40 states that have approved, wow, bare knuckle. They're nationally approved rules by the ABC Council. So that's a lot of progress in just a few short years.
Do you have a favorite fighter in England?
There's some guys that I haven't met. I go in there, I meet them, and I'm like, I love this guy. I love the attitude. Paul Hiltz is become a friend of mine as well. On the social media side, and we chat about other stuff. I love his story. I love where he came from. I love how he fights through adversity and he accepts all challenges. Paul's of course Barry Jones, Jim Sweeney.
Sean George and all the rest of them were around, of course.
Sean George, yeah. I was trying to think of his nickname.
The Outlaw.
There you go, the Outlaw. All these guys, literally all these guys, they're proper men. They're quality guys. I can't say I have a favorite. I like them all. And just like on our side, I like all our fighters. I can't tell you. I love LT's attitude. I like Ike Villanueva's, forcefulness. So much to like about a lot of these guys,
When you're not being Mr. BYB, do you have other sports you follow?
I used to have tickets for just about all the sports here in Miami. And I slowly, and this is one of the reasons I continue to think combat sports will continue to increase. I played baseball, played sports all my life, started losing interest for stick and ball sports. When the sport became more about the athletes than the sport itself, right, they start taking political opinions and using the sport to push an agenda, right? No, I watch the sport to relax. I don't need an agenda force fed on me. So like me, a lot of people in the United States lost interest in what I call stick and ball sports, right? Yeah. Baseball, football, hockey, basketball, anybody that told you that you had to wear, this or had to do that. I canceled all my tickets. I only have tickets for college football for the Miami Hurricanes. So that's pretty much all I do outside of combat sports right now. Now I am watching the Florida Panthers play hockey on TV. Yeah, they have their hands full. Yeah, Florida's 2-0. So I'm enjoying that. I was a big hockey fan, and went to a lot of games. But as you get busier, you have less and less free time to be able to do things. And then you have to start saying, the time you have, where am I going to spend it? And a lot of that time is with my wife, my kids, or my grandkids. So I've had to cut a lot of that stuff out. I do enjoy boating. I enjoy being on the water. And so we do go out on the boat whenever we can.
It's been fascinating talking to you, and onwards and upwards, I think they say.
I appreciate you, Tom. Anytime. Happy to share whatever's going on with BYB with you anytime.
He's Mike Vasquez, he's
Appreciate
the
you.
main man.